Welcome to this edition of Chamber Chat. I'm Jack Llewellyn, and as always, for Chamber upcoming events, you can simply go to durangobusiness.org. I'm here with Dr. Moss Fenberg. How are you? It's been, I hate to say this, it's good to, quote, see you, my doctor, on Zoom, but how have you been?
I've been well, Jack. It's great to see you. Well, thanks for having us.
Well, I am going to start this interview off because I just want to thank you again for the wonderful care you gave my mom when she was with us, and she passed a couple of years ago. But I honestly sincerely mean this, Moss, that you were so kind and nice to her with, from her cataract surgery and just your whole bedside manner. So I want to start by thanking you.
Oh, thank you, Jack. I think in all the things that we're doing in our world and in our businesses, it's wonderful to be reminded of just the reason why. The reasons for what we do, which sometimes if we get, we get distracted by political events and business stuff and all those things, we forget. And so I appreciate that. It was a pleasure taking care of her.
I could, till the day she passed, I can never, though, break her of the habit of still putting on her old glasses. So, it wasn't your fault, though. But anyway, like, Mom, you don't know those. But anyway, so speaking of that, as I drive into town, I'm seeing a new building that's going up. And this has been kind of a few years in the process. So congratulations. What's going to be happening at the new facility? Where is that? It's south, or it's kind of right, by the Rocket Point apartments right there in front of those, kind of by the Mainstay Hotel.
Yeah. So just between Walmart and Home Depot.
Yeah.
This was a fairly ambitious project. Poor timing with COVID. Had we known in 2018 that COVID was coming in 2020, we would have reversed course, but we've made it through. Our vision was to build a center that would be kind of a regional eye center and we'd have the capacity to provide care for this entire region and also for the capacity to bring new specialists into our group and also to expand our research enterprise. And in that light, this kind of came to be, and we feel really fortunate that it's finally taking shape along the highway there.
So with the new facility, your square footage obviously is drastically increasing from your current office space. What all is going to go on and take place in the new facility?
So primarily, our office will now expand to have 9 exam rooms, 5 technician spaces, and also a research center on the second floor. It'll allow us to essentially provide more care to more patients in the region. And we have offices in both Cortez and Farmington where we rotate through as well, but this is going to be kind of the mothership where the premium experience hopefully is occurring and where the most well-equipped diagnostics are and just allows us to really provide the best care.
And will you have surgeries that take place in the new facility?
So there is a surgical center that will be on the first floor. It's not directly owned by Southwest Eye. It's a separate entity that's coming in and doing that, but we will be performing surgeries there. And we're really excited to have that option. It's also going to provide an outpatient surgical opportunity, not just for ophthalmology patients, but for a variety of surgical patients, including orthopedics and urology, podiatry, ear, nose, and throat, those kind of things. So there'll be more space there for outpatient procedures.
So this is, I didn't realize that. So this is beyond just eye care.
Yes.
Wow. I'm sorry. I feel like I interrupted you there. So now, what is the target date for the facility to be open?
Well, that's been a moving target, Jack. It's been an interesting experience. Everyone's blaming everything on COVID. I think construction normally takes twice as long as you plan, but with COVID, it's even longer. Our target date is early January to be in the space. And probably the surgical capacity of the first floor will be sometime in the spring.
Okay. Now, I'm dying to say a joke. I'm interviewing, an eye doctor with 2020 and the vision and all of the things that we're talking about here. We'll all be glad to put 2020 behind us. What are some of the major changes that you and your practice, being in the medical profession, have had to do with COVID?
You know, it's a very interesting experience. Our population are the ones who are at highest risk for COVID-related complications. And so it's required us, all of us, I think, not just in ophthalmology, but in caring for anyone 65 plus to just change our workflow, have patients waiting in their cars more, texting them when to come in, spacing out patients in waiting rooms, less frequent contact with patients between all the technicians and the staff, scheduling and all of that. It's been a real challenge within medicine. I will say, though, interestingly, our patients many times fear lack of access to care or losing their vision due to this pandemic, almost more so than the pandemic itself. With great respect for those who are fearful that receiving care might allow them to contract the virus, the greatest proportion of our patients are still coming in because of that concern that the virus will pass and they will have had inadequate care during that time. So it's a real challenge.
Well, along that line, what are some of the things that people should be aware of with their vision, and what are some of the symptoms when they should, you know, seek help from an eye doctor and a specialist like yourself if cataracts, you know, becoming, you know, bad, or they need to have, you know, lens replacements? And I'm not using the proper terminologies, but what are some of the things that we need to be aware of for our eye care?
You know, a lot like there's a great public health awareness that chest pain could be a heart attack. And so people are very smart in getting themselves in when they have any of that, probably more so than, you know, always is needed. However, in the ophthalmology world, many times patients just put off visual symptoms and assume that maybe it's just a, you know, dirty contact, or it'll just go away, or whatever they're seeing is probably normal. I would say anytime there is a change in your vision, anytime there is something that's occurring that is concerning to you, it's probably best to see an eye care provider. That doesn't necessarily have to be us at Southwest Eye. It can be your local optometrist or whomever you're seeing. Often they'll be referred on to subspecialty care if there's more happening there. But I would say, you know, critical symptoms are new onset changes, new blurring in your vision, new floaters in your vision, flashes of light, eye pain, portions of your visual field that are lost for some reason, systemic symptoms that are, you feel maybe contributing, such as dizziness or lightheadedness, anything essentially where your visual field, your visual world is impacted. Not that you need to rush in right away, but it's would be wise to make sure you're having your regular exams, and when there's any new change, that you then come in for those.
So is it now, again, my attempt at humor, but I feel like when I turned 50, the warranty on my body started to expire. I've noticed my arms are getting shorter as I have to lengthen, you know, to read something. And I need a lot more light when I'm trying to read something and illuminate the wording, you know. Are those just, is that something that's natural? And I do see my docs, you know, and I go in.
Yeah.
What kind? Is that just aging?
So, yes, that's our friends in the optometry community do a fabulous job in helping us as our arms get too short for the text that we're reading and as the light is not enough. Yes, that's just a normal aging phenomenon, slow progression over time. And essentially your refraction is changing. The correction that you need in your glasses is changing over time as your lens becomes less able to focus the light at the distance that you need. And also just the contrast sensitivity loss that you're describing when you need more light to see what you're seeing.
And then, well, something like a lens replacement, cataract surgery, does that, obviously I would assume, helps that eventually?
It does.
That point.
Absolutely, it does, yes. And patients love that return of crisp and sharp vision often.
Yeah, and then you'll be performing those surgeries at the new facility.
That's correct. We'll be performing them there. We will also continue to perform surgeries, you know, at Anima Surgical, as well as at Four Corners Surgical Center in Farmington and at Mercy Regional. So we will not be solely doing cases there, but there will be an opportunity for that.
And what is the advantage with, you know, with your new facility to the community? I mean, are you going to serve, you said, mentioned earlier, you know, like the Four Corners area, and expanding that out and, you know, state of the art, I'm assuming?
Yes, absolutely. We recently merged with New Mexico Eye Clinic in Farmington. Dr. Scott Allen has been there for 25 years and is looking for a way to transition forward. And we have been partnered with him for 5 years just as an affiliation, but now we are assuming his practice and coming under one. There is a large unmet need, believe it or not, in our community, particularly in servicing the Native patients that are part of the reservation adjacent to us, and also just the Four Corners region. Patients have historically, when I first came here in 2011, patients were traveling to Albuquerque, Denver, Grand Junction for retinal care, had really no local options for that. And now in that short, almost 10-year period, we have 3 retina specialists in the area. And also now I think 9 ophthalmologists in our community, maybe 10. We have a large growing population of Medicare age individuals. The baby boom is definitely here. We have a region that patients want to live in and that are excited to come to. And we have, remarkably, for a town of our size, a lot of great physicians, a lot of great providers. So our goal is to continue to add subspecialty providers. Now we're recruiting a glaucoma specialist. We added cornea a year ago, and we are thinking about other specialty, subspecialty ophthalmologists as well, so that, you know, we know we will not be a New York Eye and Ear Infirmary or some other world class, but if we can develop to a strong regional center of excellence and serve this greater area, that would be our goal.
And also, you're doing some research, if I understand correctly, and some other new advances. What's going on with that?
So 2016, 17, we were successful in bringing Dr. Sarah Howe to our practice. And Sarah, one of my partners, had a lot of experience in research post-fellowship. We all performed research during that fellowship time. But she continued to do some in her private practice afterwards and was very interested in bringing that to the Four Corners. And we were thrilled, of course, to bring her here and her expertise. Since that time, we now have, I think, 7 studies ongoing. These involve diabetic complications for eye disease and macular degeneration. What's remarkable is that a lot of patients, despite the best care possible, still lose vision. We're at the edge of medicine in a lot of ways with macular degeneration and diabetic eye disease. So a lot of patients receive monthly injections for these conditions. Injections are a miracle. They preserve and prolong vision for so many patients, but they do involve regular, you know, expensive care and lots of time burdens for those patients. So one of the studies that we have been performed in is a very small implant under the skin of the eye that slowly expresses the same drug that we inject each month. That's been a remarkable study and is ongoing. And we expect in the future for there to be micro reservoirs like this in various portions of the eye so that less invasive techniques are available. We are also in the world of the dry form of macular degeneration where there is currently no injection available. There is now a biologic agent that we're injecting in our 2 of our studies that are showing a slowing of the dry form of macular. So it's remarkable where there's been no treatment. We now are having these modalities come into play. You may ask, how is that possible in a small little community like Four Corners? These studies are international, national studies. We are one site of many. And there's a centralized protocol and process, and essentially they're recruiting patients from all over the country in various places. And if a practice such as ours can establish a regulated, well-run research enterprise, we can essentially provide those patients the same drugs they would receive at a large metropolitan center. Same studies, actually, that are happening in the largest cities. It's pretty remarkable how technology is changing that in that regard. If Sarah were here today, she would tell you about an exciting new study that involves essentially it's a gene study where some of these drugs that we inject, instead of injecting a reservoir that releases the drug, we inject essentially the DNA code to produce the drug by your retinal cells. And so that's the new world that's coming over time with gene therapy. So there's a whole lot that's happening in this world that's pretty remarkable.
That to me is just, it is amazing in itself. I'm excited to do a Zoom interview, let alone all about what you're talking about.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it is remarkable. And, you know, we all know there's a graveyard of failed therapies in the research world. Not every therapy works, but it's exciting to offer opportunities to patients, options, when you're at the end of a dead end with treatment, or you're getting worse despite the best possible treatment available. And so as we build this new center, the second floor of our space there in the new medical office building is primarily dedicated to research and administrative functions within our practice. But what this allows us to do is to increase the number of clinical trials we can offer in the community and to continue to provide that. So it's kind of exciting.
Definitely exciting. And I'm going to have to get you back on because I've got so many more questions, but we're out of time. So
sure.
Dr. Moss-Fenberg, thank you for taking time. And will you come back and let me interview you for a longer session?
Absolutely. We'd be glad to, Jack. Always great to talk to you and really appreciate the support of the chamber. I don't forget the ribbon cutting experience when I was just a little solo doc and had a lot of support, a lot of support from the chamber. So we appreciate you.
Well, thank you for being there. We got to send it back to the studios. You've been listening to Chamber Chat. Have a great day.
Thank you.